You're listening to CLNS Media, powered by betonline.ag. Go to clnsmedia.com/roll. Use our promo code CLNS50 for 50% off your first deposit.
Yeah. You know what that sound means, everybody? That's the Gino song right there, baby. That's Gino. For those of you that don't know what this is, I'm going to kill it and welcome you in to the Celtics postgame show on CLNS Media. Hey, listen. After a 7-0 run by the Spurs to start this game, everything turned around for the Celtics. They figured things out, and they come away with a huge 135-115 victory. And we're here to talk about it for the next hour or so with you. My name is Matt Rury, and I'm here with Bobby Manning. And
hello.
Bobby, I mean, this was quite the game for the Celtics. It looked really shaky to start in the first couple minutes. Then Brad Stevens calls that timeout, and they turn things around. And before we get to the bit of bad news, which is the big news of the night, let's just touch on the fact that the Celtics go into San Antonio and come away with a victory for the first time in 8 years. And not only that, it's a 20-point win. So it's a good night for the Celtics overall.
Yeah, and for the people who don't know, Gordon Hayward, hand injury tonight. We don't know where that's going to go. As you said, we'll get to that. But very important on Brad Stevens' part. He'd been tinkering with lineups these last few weeks, and we've been doing shows, you know, off and on here, me and you in different places. But across the last few, we've seen Javonte Green, who was that last pick or the last player who made the roster. We saw him get some steady minutes these last few games. 3 for 5 tonight, 13 minutes off the bench. He jumps into action for Gordon Hayward after halftime when he suffered that injury. Played a good amount of run in the second half. Gives them 6 points, which is more than what a lot of players off the bench have been given the Celtics this year. He's a +8 over that stretch. And I thought he filled in fairly well. Now, he's not a floor spacer. He's not a ball handler like Hayward. But it's great to see that the Celtics can get into some of the second levels of their wings beyond Hayward and get some production there. Now, is he going to be a steady part of the rotation going forward? Is it going to be Grant Williams getting a little more time rotating in there? They go with more traditional lineups. I don't know what it's going to look like, but the Celtics handled it tonight. And to be honest, Matt, I thought they looked as good, if not better, through the second half of that game. I don't know if the Spurs just let up after they went down 18, but Jaylen Brown was taking it to them on the ball. I thought Tatum had another good night, getting to the rim, rebounding especially, making those second-level passes. And Kemba continues to score a quiet 20-plus, 25-plus here today. So that Hayward injury hurts, but I think tonight shows that they can sustain for however long it's going to be. The big question is how long it's going to be that he's down.
Yeah.
Short term, I think they can handle it. If it gets past a month, it might be tougher.
Yeah, I mean, I this is all speculation, obviously. Neither of us are doctors, the old cliche. But, I mean, I'm guessing it's a month, something like that. I'm thinking around Thanksgiving there's going to be people start to talk about him coming back. So I'm not too concerned with that injury. And we'll have to see if he needs surgery or not. They'll figure that out Monday, I believe, is when he's going to have that figured out. But like you said, it's just going to be next guy up. And at this point, Jaylen Brown was the guy that stepped up. Second game in a row in San Antonio. Last year, he had a big game as well where he scored 30 points. And Kemba Walker again with 26. And you said it was a quiet 20-plus points. I think this guy's going to be doing this every night. And I'm excited to be talking about him as opposed to the other guy from last year. I'm not even going to mention his name. You know who he is. But the point is, this team looks totally different. They look engaged. They look like they're having fun out there. They look like they want to be out there. And there's no dark cloud hanging over them, which is kind of the vibe that you had last year at certain points. So they did have a nice November, December stretch last year where I think they won 7 or 8 in a row. But it didn't look anything like this. It was not as crisp and clean as this is. The ball's moving again. All sorts of different guys are scoring. And I think they're one of two teams in the NBA, if I have that right, that have three guys that are scoring 20 points a game or more. So that's certainly impressive. And if the wings continue to step up and you get play from a guy like Javonte Green, who I love the fact that they signed him. No offense to Max Strus. He was a solid shooter. A bit undersized, if you ask me, but I was so happy to see that they signed Javonte Green because his athleticism is through the roof and he is really exciting off that Celtics bench. So they have a few options. I think it's probably going to be a night-by-night basis type of thing where Brad Stevens looks down the bench and says, oh, who's going to play tonight? You didn't see Semi Ojeleye at all. And normally he would be a guy that Brad would go to as a wing player. So I'm sure we'll see Semi down the line, but tonight he decided to go with Javonte Green and Grant Williams, and it worked out.
Yeah, he's a slasher, and he can get the cuts that some of these wings that are providing to him. He's so high above the rim on all these different lobs that play where Rob made the block down the end of the stretch. I forget who funneled the ball from him to Green at the rim, but that was like the play of the night. It might have been Wanamaker. I'm very interested to see how the scoring allotment goes from here. Because like you said, they've had three guys running the offense at such an efficient clip. Kemba with his 41% three-point shooting. Hayward from all three levels of the floor has been dominating. He's been the best player on this team for at least the last 4 or 5 games. So Tatum has to step it up in a ball handling regard. Brown just got back. He's the story of tonight's game. We haven't even mentioned his 30 points yet. He looks like he's playing at a whole new level on the ball. None of these guys can play make at the same level as Hayward, but it's just going to put a lot more on Kemba's back in terms of that role in the, of the game. And they do have some other scorers here who can sustain them for a little bit. They've had a tough time with bench scoring. You know, Semi got a ton of run to start the year and couldn't give them the offense that they need. He's a great defender, but offensively, he's just essentially been a spot-up shooter and not a very good one at that to start his career. So I wonder if Green is getting the hand over him. He's been playing the last few nights. Ojeleye hasn't. That seems like the way they're going to go. But, Matt, I want to talk about Brown to start this off. He came out firing. I know Steven said before the game, you guys got to get to the basket, and he did. And you know what sticks out to me? That left hand. He's going left again and again, getting to the free throw line with it, with that little hook he throws when he's going to the left side of the basket. He got bodied in there by Jakob Poeltl again and again. And we're going to go through some of the differences that we're seeing from this team versus last year's team, because, you know, we haven't done a show yet. We're starting to see who this team is at this point. I think the big one is a guy like Brown getting to the basket on the ball, having the freedom to make plays for himself and getting to the free throw line at a high rate. He goes 9 for 10 from the free throw line in this one. And Matt, this is a guy who shoots 60% from the line for his career. Huge, huge game in all regards.
Yeah, and you know what? The first game of the season against Philadelphia, he was a contributor in that dismal performance at the free throw line where the Celtics missed 15 free throws or something like that. But they've all seemed to turn it around since then, especially with all the wins that they've just rattled off, 8 wins in a row, and they're shooting the ball from the free throw line better. Tonight they shot overall over 50% and 38% from the three-point line. Marcus Smart has been a big part of that. We'll talk about him in a little while, but to stick on Jaylen Brown, you're right. He looks confident. He looks aggressive. He looks like he has the ability to finish, which is something that I've questioned with him in the past. And he also looks like he's comfortable giving the ball to somebody else. He doesn't look like he's got to get his because he's not going to get the ball back. Last year, listen, this will be the first and last time, because it's my first game this season, where we talk about last year. But the difference between this year and last year is very significant. It's obvious already. And with Jaylen Brown, he's a perfect example, because the ball would stick with the former point guard. I struggled to not say his name there. it stuck with him. It would stick to Jason Tatum, and it certainly stuck to Jaylen Brown. He was a black hole last year. He never wanted to pass the ball when he got it, because he didn't think he was ever going to get it back. So this year, you can tell he's fine being in the flow of the offense, passing it off if he has to, and taking shots when they're there. And tonight was a perfect example of that, because his aggressiveness to the hole really keyed him in getting the 30 points there. He led the entire game in scoring. And on a night where Kemba Walker didn't shoot that well, for Walker, I mean, it's not great. 9 for 20, it's good for a lot of guys, but you would think he would be a little bit better than that. And with Gordon Hayward going out in the second quarter, it was really nice to see Jaylen Brown sort of take control and continue going forward with his game, especially after missing a few games just in the last couple of weeks with that infection on his leg. So I think you're right. And with a guy like that being able to step up and score 30 points when someone else gets out or it has to sit for load management or whatever happens over the course of the year, it's encouraging to see Jaylen starting out this way. So, Bobby, before we go any further, I've got to, of course, remind everybody about HelloFresh, because it's delicious and it's available to you just for listening to this show tonight. They help you make delicious meals at home. And believe me when I say this, I just made a really quick one pot chili. It was so easy and it was delicious. They provide all the ingredients for you in one box. You can get 3 or 4 meals per week, different meals for 2 people. You can get it for 4 if you've got a family that you're trying to feed. And the bottom line is that there's something for everybody, because you can choose a vegetarian, you can choose the different meat that you want, and they give you menus that you probably wouldn't be able to have normally at home because you don't know how to make it, so you're going to get some good recipes as well. And it's the meal kit of all meal kits. I encourage you to check it out, because they really help me sort of manage what I'm going to eat, and it helps me manage calories, and it really is delicious food as well. So go check it out, and if you go to HelloFresh.com/CLNS80 and then enter the code CLNS80, you're going to get $80 off your first month of HelloFresh. And let me tell you, that is going to get you at least 1 free week, if not 2, depending on what meals you choose. And again, they're delicious. They're easy to make. Sometimes it takes you 20 minutes. That chili the other night, half an hour. Perfect, delicious. And it was after work. It was nice and easy for me to come home and just whip it up. So head on over to HelloFresh.com/CLNS80 and enter the code CLNS80 to receive $80 off your first month of HelloFresh. All right. So I wonder if Jaylen Brown's been eating HelloFresh, because he looks strong out there. So anyway, I feel like he is a key to this team, because he's clearly, through the first 8 games here, 9 games, he is 8 games. He's the fourth scorer, Bobby, and it's pretty clear that this is going to be a Kemba Walker, Gordon Hayward, Jason Tatum trio of scoring, and then the Celtics are going to look to a bunch of other guys on sort of a second tier, and if Jaylen Brown continues on this type of a pace, it's going to be him alone on that second tier, and then you're going to look to sort of the third tier type of guys like Marcus Smart, and then the Javonte Greens, the Brad Wanamakers off the bench, and Robert Williams, who we will talk about as well, because he had a very efficient night tonight.
Yeah, and Brown came in 25% from 3. He hasn't really gotten it going in that regard. That's where he got a lot of offense early in his career, is a big boost on that end of the floor. Now, I think one of the stories of this team, Matt, through the 8 games, is that everybody on this team seems to know their role. even up at the top in Kemba Walker, I think the biggest difference we're seeing and why his 25, 30 points are so quiet is because a lot of the time he's going off the ball. He's letting these wings handle the ball, and he's getting his own where he can in the flow of the offense. Walker hasn't had any game that's looked anything like the Hornets games where he was jumping on the ball, making all those plays, doing everything for them. And he talked about that a little bit too. You know, he said he had to do that in Charlotte. Here, he doesn't feel as compelled to do that. And Irving, you know, I don't think it was as much him being a ball hog. You know, we're going to beat up on Irving a lot as the Nets continue to flounder a little bit and the Celtics keep soaring here all the way through Thanksgiving when we finally see him. But I think he felt in his mind that these young players, a recovering great player in Gordon Hayward, who was struggling at that point, I think he felt like he had to save that team. So he would get on the ball, pound into the ground when the going was getting rough, and really put the Celtics in a tough position. And I like what you said right there about them, you know, feeling like they had to take a shot when they got it because they never knew if it was going to come back. Tatum, Brown, pressing last year. Well, look at Brown tonight. He's taking in transition when he gets it. He's cutting back door. You know, if he's in the flow and he sees an open lane, especially on the wings where they're getting guys wide open with this penetration, he's taking inside on stuff like that, and it's made him brutally efficient to start this year. A great night tonight is going to put him in the mid-50s in terms of field goal shooting to start this year. You know, Matt, they don't have a ton of scorers on this team, but the guys who are doing it are putting themselves and each other in such a great position to succeed that they've been one of the more efficient scoring teams in the NBA. We'll see what happens when they lose maybe their best creator at every level among these guys. I don't know. You know, it's tough because we've seen something really special develop here these first 8 games. Now they're going to have one of their key pieces out of the fold for the foreseeable future. And they do have a tough West Coast swing coming up. And we've seen teams like Brooklyn, other teams that are out there. Charlotte had a tough one early on. That West is tough. And the Celtics haven't played a load of teams yet, the Spurs probably being one of the 3 toughest teams they've played so far. So give them credit for getting through the Raptors, Bucks, and now the Spurs. They hadn't beat the Spurs since 2011 on the road before tonight. Give them credit for what they've done. The tough part's coming.
Yeah, very, very impressive for the Celtics tonight to take this win in the way that they did. But that upcoming road trip that you mentioned is definitely something that's not going to be easy. Before that, you don't want to overlook the Dallas Mavericks, who are playing some pretty good basketball right now with Luka Doncic and Kristaps Porzingis. Dallas coming to town on Monday. They're 5-3. But in the West, I mean, everybody's 5-3 at this point, pretty much. So when you look at the rest of that trip that the Celtics are about to go on, it's daunting, to say the least. The back-to-back with Sacramento and Phoenix. Sacramento, nothing crazy, right? They're not that great of a team, but it's a Sunday afternoon, and it's after they've gone to Golden State already, who is also floundering right now. So you would think that those are 2 wins right there. But then to go to Phoenix the very next night from Sacramento, a team that is playing really well early on in the season, the Celtics have their work cut out for them, especially if they're looking ahead to the Los Angeles Clippers on Wednesday. So my point here is don't overlook these easy teams because you got the Clippers and then Denver on Friday before you come home and have to see Sacramento again. So you don't want to slip up against one of those teams that aren't really worthy of being on the floor with you just because you're looking ahead to those other games. And then, like you mentioned, the Thanksgiving sandwich with Brooklyn there, where we will have the home and home with the Nets. This should be interesting as well. So as we round out November here, I think the Celtics will show you and show everybody out there who may be doubting them that they are a top team in the East. And Bobby, let's not get too hot around here right now, but let's be real. Every team in the East is flawed, including the Celtics. They have their flaws. They're undersized. They don't necessarily rebound very well. But the point here is that they are capable of winning the Eastern Conference and being a 1 or 2 seed. Philadelphia, it has more talent. Milwaukee has the best player in the East. But the Celtics seem, early on anyway, to have the most cohesive team. And if they are playing this well the entire year, then I don't think that you should be sleeping on them. So I'm not saying they're going to go and win the East guaranteed or anything like that. I'm saying that people have not been giving them the credit that they deserve, because they appear early on after eight games to be one of those teams that could definitely go to the NBA Finals just because everybody else is flogged. So why not them?
Yeah, and you know who's not getting enough respect out of all of this? Those centers. I mean, look at what those centers went out and did tonight. Daniel Tice, who gets a lot of crap from Celtics fans. People say this guy stinks. He can't move. He can't score. He's been phenomenal for this team. He's getting in front of LaMarcus Aldridge and holding him off the boards here and getting behind him on a play where Aldridge got underneath and blocking him from behind. I don't know if he actually got the block there, but he forced the miss. And Robert Williams, 6 blocks in this game. I had a lot of faith in Tice coming into this year, Matt. I love where he's able to move his feet and get in front of guys both on the perimeter and in front. He gets bumped around a little bit. He's a skinny guy, but he rebounds. He shoots a little bit. He's a great pick-and-roll player. So it showed me that this team was going to be a little more mobile and active inside. You were going to have some shot-blocking presence. You know, Horford, bless him as a defender, but he wasn't the greatest shot blocker in the world. He'd give you one or two a night. I wasn't sure about Rob Williams, and man, has he put himself in the rotation in a dramatic way. 5 of 5 in this one, 6 blocks, like I mentioned.
He jumps,
he fouls, he makes crazy mistakes. I don't know if you saw him throw the ball to half court in that Charlotte game on Thursday, but for the most part, it's been good, and he's a guy that players don't want to drive into. We haven't seen a shot blocker like him on the Celtics in a very long time.
No, certainly not. And he's not even the one that's leading or second in the league in block shots. Daniel Tice is behind Anthony Davis in block shots right now. He's been phenomenal. He's a guy that I looked at as being undersized as well. But, I mean, you can't knock the progress that he's made and the impact that he's had on defense so far this year. It's been incredible, the amount of blocks that he's been getting. And I think it's probably just because he's healthy, right? And he has a little bit more bounce than people expect.
Yeah.
But Robert Williams, boy, oh boy, if this guy rounds into the thing that it looks like he's on the verge of becoming, man, is this a steal for Danny Ainge? You got to lock this guy up right now.
Oh, my God, yeah.
I mean,
we weren't thinking before this season that we'd have to get Rob Williams locked up.
Player on defense. He gets high above the rim. He blocks shots. He times the ball. And a few years ago, Bobby, I don't know if you remember Greg Steensma, but Tommy Heinsohn used to rave about his timing and talk about how he's Bill Russell this, Bill Russell that. No, Greg Steensma was not that. That was hyperbole from Tommy Heinsohn. But this is not hyperbole from me. I feel like Robert Williams has the potential to be that type of player in the course of his career. And I think that while he's not going to win 11 championships in a row, Bill Russell played in a different time. He dominated everyone, the entire league. Williams won't be doing that, but as far as a shot blocker, specifically shot blocking only, I think he could be the type of player that Russell was.
I believe the Celtics are one of the best shot blocking teams in the league to start the year. You have Tice up there. You have Williams up there. Grant Williams can get inside a little bit too. He's a little short to be piling up blocks, but he gets in there and stops shots at the rim. A lot of people were scared about center on this team. And let's be real. They don't have the presence at center offensively that they did with Al Horford. They're going to get a little roll to the basket, maybe 10 points at most from Rob Williams. Both him and Tice have been 5-point-per-game guys to start the year at that position. But, Matt, you know what they do get from those guys? When you stop the ball at the rim, when you have guys that can rotate out and stop at the three-point line, like they're able to, you get stops that you can push in the transition runs, and you don't need a guy like Horford in that sense, setting up the half-court offense. We'll see what that means come playoff time, because the half-court becomes much more important. I mean, this team already looks a lot like those Isaiah-era teams, where they were just winning behind great defense, steals, not so much blocks back then. Now you add that to the complexion, and then getting out and run, shoot, all of that stuff. It's the Stevens formula. It's the way he wants to play. And right now, the Celtics are a top 5 defense in the NBA in terms of per 100 possessions. So So those centers have made it happen on that end. We haven't even seen Enes Kanter for pretty much all season. I thought he looked great against Philadelphia offensively, was able to bang with the centers down there. It fixed the rebounding problems a little bit. And he can score the ball at probably a 10 to 12 point per game clip if he gets the run.
Right.
So he almost played in this game. It's going to be great when they do get him back in there, because Stevens has three different guys who gives opposing teams three different looks inside. Great depth at that position this year. Don't get me wrong, Matt. I'm the biggest Horford fan in the world. I still miss him every single day. But
yeah,
credit Danny Ainge, credit Stevens for putting those guys in positions to succeed. It was very scary going into this year. I didn't know if Rob was going to be able to play, but all three of those guys clearly can.
Yeah, and they've certainly figured it out early on here. And you mentioned the Celtics being at the top of the league in blocks. The Lakers have 8 blocks per game at this point. The Celtics have 6.9, and I believe this is a live stat on NBA.com. So right behind them is Orlando at 6.8. So you start talking about the teams at the top. It's the Lakers and the Celtics, and that's because of Anthony Davis and Daniel Theis. So if anybody's out there knocking Daniel Theis or laughing at him through 8 games or whatever, just understand where he is and how good of a season he's having so far. Can he sustain it? Probably not. But if he can, or if somebody else steps in and has a similar role to that, then I think the Celtics are going to be one of the best defensive teams in the league throughout the year. And you've already seen that so far. Small sample sizes really are not that great as far as stats are concerned and projections for most teams, but you can tell in a small sample size if a team is playing well together, if they're cohesive, and if they have something and they have what it takes. And I think right now, early on in the season, the Celtics are showing that right now. So I'm not concerned with them, and I think that they are going to impress people throughout the year. And while, of course, they're going to lose games here or there, I feel like, Bobby, they're back to being a team that is going to beat the teams they're supposed to beat and have tough games against the teams that they're, quote-unquote, not supposed to beat. And quite frankly, regardless of how far they go, that's a much better product to watch as a fan than what we saw in the past couple of years.
Yeah, they have been taking care of business. I think you're talking about that Knicks win where Tatum had to go out and hit a shot on the last possession. They were scrapping all night for boards. Knicks really beat them up in that one with their size. That was a very hard win for this team. And there are some bigger teams like that in the NBA. I'm thinking of a Detroit when they get Blake Griffin back. That could give them a lot of problem with the size. Indiana won't be easy in that regard either. There's going to be some tough matchups for this team. But even in that, I mean, that Knicks game looked horrible from start to finish, and they still found a way to win it. Stevens is clearly back in the driver's seat when it comes to the matchup game, the flow of the team, the way stylistically that they're playing. It looks like he has his hand in everything that's going on out there. And to be honest, I think they're going to be in the running for the NBA Finals when it's said and done if they get through it healthy. Why not? Look at the East right now. 6 below looks absolutely terrible. They're going to be able to run wins off against those teams like crazy. So you think Milwaukee, who they've already beaten, they have Toronto in the running for it. I want to see them against Miami. That's the big one right there because the Heat look legit. Jimmy Butler almost led the 76ers to the finals last year. He probably would have if Kawhi's shot didn't bounce a few different ways up there on the way down.
Yeah.
And we might be talking about Jimmy Butler the way we're talking about Kawhi right now if that shot doesn't go down. So we'll see what Miami's able to bring. That's the game I'm excited about in the coming weeks, what they look like against a team like that with size and some great players on the perimeter.
Yeah, the Heat are definitely one of those teams that I don't think a lot of people really talked about coming into the season, but they should have been talking about them. And you look at the Eastern Conference standings right now, and they're kind of upside down, if you ask me. And not necessarily upside down, I shouldn't say that, but the Raptors are better than I expected them to be. Milwaukee and Philadelphia are not as good as people expected them to be. And the Hornets are playing much better than I would have thought.
Philly's
so
tough.
Terry Rozier doing some things down there. The trade not so bad maybe for them. But the point is that the East is wide open, and anybody is going to be able to win this thing and it's a any given Sunday type of feel as far as the Eastern Conference is concerned, especially for the top four or five teams that we just mentioned, with Toronto included, which I wouldn't have included them at the beginning of the season, before the season started. But I guess I would include them now, even though Kyle Lowry just went down for a couple of weeks with a thumb injury as well. But surprisingly, they're right there. And Philadelphia is not blowing doors like everybody thought they would through eight games. They just hit a three-game losing streak. So
yeah,
we'll see how things shake out there. But they still have their flaws. Milwaukee has their flaws. Miami is a team that we're still not sure about. But the Celtics are right there. And I think that it's going to be an exciting season. So when you mentioned earlier that you thought that they would go to the NBA Finals, I'm not going to poo-poo that. I think that is certainly in the cards for the Celtics. We want to hear what the people think, though, Bobby. We want to hear what the fans out there have to say.
Yeah, it's time.
So we are going to open our call lines now at 347-215-7771. And, of course, those call lines are brought to you by betonline.ag. And, we're a basketball show, so you can bet on basketball, but we all know that the big sport to bet on is football. So if you are a big fan of betting on football and you want to go win some money, you should sign up at betonline.ag right now, and you will receive 50% as a welcome bonus on your first deposit, and you can start betting on college or professional football. So, there's prop bets. You can bet on who you think is going to be fired first in the big football league over there, who's going to win between your favorite team and another team, who's going to score more touchdowns in the game. Maybe a team scores more touchdowns but still loses. You could probably bet on that over at betonline.ag. So head on over to the website today and use your mobile device to join, and use the promo code CLNS50, and you'll get 50% on your first deposit as a welcome bonus. Again, CLNS50. That's CLNS50 on your mobile device. That's a promo code at betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. And again, the call lines here is, the phone number is 347-215-7771. So if you want to get on the show with Bobby and I and talk about the Celtics, now's the time to do it.
All right, we got a 111 up here. Let's see what he's got.
Usually a Skype caller.
Yeah, talk about burying the lead. I mean, it took half an hour to talk about Robert
Jesus.
Williams.
Burying the lead, Nick Cespedes. Well, here he is, ladies and gentlemen.
I mean, Robert Williams, the discussion is like, oh, suddenly he just popped out of nowhere. No, we've been waiting for Robert Williams to do this for a long time. Yes, he's still raw. Yes, he still makes occasional errors in his judgment, in his rotations, and, in some of those things. He's an unpolished athlete, but he's getting there. And I think when you look at the lineup of Boston Celtics bigs, there really aren't any bigs. I mean, Daniel Tice is, in some, in the past, in a previous era, probably could have played small forward for some teams. I like what he's doing. I just think that as this team goes forward, it's going to be more Robert Williams, and I think that what he gives to the Celtics, what the dimension that he adds to this Boston Celtics team, six blocks. That's not something that you get from that we've seen from a Boston Celtics team in I don't know how long. I know you mentioned Greg Steenstra, probably maybe the last guy that came into a game and added that much intimidation on the defensive side of the rim. And on top of that, he plays above the rim on offense.
Yeah.
We don't need another big guy who's going to go out there and, line up at the three-point line and shoot threes the way Daniel Tice occasionally does, the way so many Boston big men have done. You need a guy that's going to get in there. He's going to bring his lunch pail, going to put on his hot hat, and he's going to dunk the ball on somebody's head, and he's going to make players, other teams, scared to drive to the basket, to drive through the paint. And that's what Robert Williams is doing. And I don't think that it's a surprise that this is what he's doing. This is what people have been expecting, at least fans that I've talked to, that I've, you know, been in discussions with, what they've been expecting from Robert Williams since he came into the league last season. I'll let you guys go because I'm sure you have other calls, but Vincent Poirier, get this guy the hell out of here. What is he doing? Why is he even on the team? That is a roster spot that you could easily put Taco Fall in. Again, I'm not saying Taco Fall is a polished player. I'm not saying Taco Fall is the answer to anything. Boston Celtics don't need any answers right now because the Boston Celtics have it all together. All it took was getting rid of, you know, it's addition by subtraction. Cut out that one little cancer, and look what you have. Yep. You have a team that's ready to compete. And Vincent Poirier, get him out of there. Put Taco Fall in there. I promise you, even if Taco Fall isn't going to be the best center in the league, and he's not, and even if Taco Fall is not going to, you know, blow the doors out, and he's not, you put him in for 5 minutes, and he changes the entire complexion of the game because he makes everybody think twice about coming into the paint. There's no reason Vincent Poirier got that contract over Taco Fall, and Taco Fall is languishing away in Maine. I know that last time I spoke to Bobby Mann, he had a concussion or something like that. But, I mean, really, what have we seen from Vincent Poirier that we couldn't get from Taco Fall? Absolutely nothing. Vincent Poirier, my last hot take, Vincent Poirier is a less interesting Vitor Favorani. That's it. Get him out of there. Give me Taco Fall.
Interesting.
And more Robert Williams.
Favorani. I liked Favorani. The one and only Nick Sesento, ladies and gentlemen. Bringing hot takes left and right. Vincent Poirier, Bobby, I mean, this is a guy that I thought was going to be the Daniel Tice of last year and actually have an impact on the Celtics this year. But Nick is right. He has done nothing. Absolutely nothing. He doesn't even warrant being on the floor. So I don't know. I would say this, though, with Poirier being on the active roster and not playing, Taco Fall is probably not going to play either. So I'd almost rather have Poirier there just to plug him in randomly if you have to and give Taco Fall the experience in Maine that will actually make him a better player and give him the opportunity to grow now and then be able to contribute later. Because quite frankly, I think Nick is right. Poirier's got to go. Whether it's now or at the end of the season.
I don't know if he's got to go, per se. I mean, neither of them are playing, right? So neither of them are taking anything away from each other. He played a little bit in the Charlotte game, I think, late in this one as well. And he looks a little gassed out there. I don't know why, because he did play over the summer with Team France, so he's in shape, unless he's just been smoking a little too many, too many of those things that they smoke over there in France. I don't think Poirier smokes, but he doesn't look like he's at the NBA level of speed yet. We don't know if he'll ever get there. But if you go back and watch Team France, he was backing up Rudy Gobert on a very good French team. This guy can run the floor, handle the ball a little bit in the pick and roll. He's a true 7-footer, so he brings legitimate size at that position. And he's an excellent rebounder. This guy's very early in his basketball career. I believe he started at about age 16 because he was a soccer player that was just very tall, and they thought that he'd be better at basketball. He went and played in Spain a little bit. So he's only, you know, probably, I want to say, 6 or 7 years into his basketball career period. And he's already come a long way. I think he's a decent developmental guy. In terms of center, like we said, they're looking pretty good there. Cantor's been injured. They've still figured it out. Once you get Cantor back in there, they're going to have a pretty good trio of centers that they can throw in there. And don't forget Grant Williams, who isn't putting up big stats. I think he only has 3 points per game and 2 rebounds per game. But he's always in the right position, whether on offense or defense.
Smart player.
He's like a Smart in that regard, and Brad Stevens compared him to Marcus Smart, and that neither of those guys are going to put up massive stats. But you look across this floor, Matt, Smart defenders left and right. They look like they could be one of the best defensive teams in the NBA in spite of their size because of players like Grant Williams. Marcus Smart looks phenomenal to start this year. Did you see him rip the ball away from, I think it was Pirtle, on an offensive rebound, and Smart just ripped it right back, and they got going on the other end? They frustrated San Antonio. Yeah, every time DeRozan drove tonight, Tice was in his face. You had them going to the floor. You had those shocked looks on their face when they weren't getting foul calls. The Celtics were putting it on them a little bit. And like Nick said, there's a physicality there. There's an intimidation factor, especially with Rob Williams, that's turning guys away from the interior. This is a great defensive team, and that's what Brad Stevens' teams always pride themselves on. And you can, despite your offensive limitations, always turn that into offense when you get great stops. We got another caller here, 617. Want to squeeze him in, or you got something to say?
Just quickly, the defense has been awesome. They have the rotations, Rob Williams is a good part of it when he plays, but the shot blocking from Daniel Tice has been huge as well. When you, as a guard, which is what most of the Celtics players are, the guard forwards, Danny Ainge has been looking for his whole career, basically, a team full of wings that can do everything. But when you have guys like that who are willing to play defense in the paint, you can sort of press up a little bit more as a guard and get a little more pressure on the ball, on the three-point line, et cetera. So they can double-team at the top, and if they have to, then they can switch and back and forth because they're all great defenders, and their footwork is excellent. They switch. The help defense on this team is excellent, led by Marcus Smart. The fact that Smart can guard pretty much anybody in the league makes it very difficult for teams to match up with him. You saw the other night against Cleveland, he was on Kevin Love the whole game, and he basically shut Love down. So the defense has been impeccable so far, and that's exactly what Brad Stevens' teams do. They are high-powered on offense, and they play hard on defense. So when your best player does not want to play hard on defense, the rest of the team sort of follows suit. And this year you can see that Kemba Walker, not only does he play hard on defense, but he doesn't have to be hidden on defense like Brad did with Isaiah Thomas a few years ago. And that's no knock on Isaiah. He's just an undersized player. His energy level is through the roof, and he's one of the best offensive players that I've seen in my lifetime. But Kemba Walker is at a different level, and his energy on defense is a big part of that. So I think if the Celtics can keep it up with their defensive rotations, they're going to be very difficult to score on. And then their offensive firepower on the other end of the floor is going to win them a lot of games because of that.
All right, let's see what we should probably get into Gordon Hayward a little soon. Maybe 617 wants to talk about him, but we go now to 617 in the Boston area. Who we got here?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's, you read my mind. That's what I was going to talk about. So, you know, I love the way that Gordon was playing, averaging, 20 points or 19 points a game?
20, yep.
Vintage Gordon Hayward, back to his Utah days, and all of a sudden he gets this injury, and it just seems like this guy never catches a break, you know? He's playing his best game of his career, and all of a sudden, boom, runs into LaMarcus Aldridge and fractures his left hand. I just I feel really bad for Gordon Hayward. But my question is, what's going to happen? Like, how is this going to affect the Celtics season, and who's going to fill his shoes?
Yeah. So, I mean, we touched on this a little bit earlier, and, I mean, tonight it started with Jaylen Brown definitely stepping in, scoring 30 points, being aggressive to the hoop, and being the scorer that the Celtics can rely on. I think throughout the course of the year, maybe they would get a little bit more from Jason Tatum. They'd lean on Kemba Walker a little bit more. But really, Jaylen Brown is going to be the guy that has to step up. And also, we were speculating earlier that it's not going to be that long of an injury for Gordon Hayward. It's certainly not as devastating as the injury that basically put him out for two full seasons, because he wasn't himself until late last year. But I think that by the time December rolls around, we might start seeing the reports of Hayward in practice again. And then certainly I would be very surprised if he's not playing by Christmas, because the type of injury that the reports are early on make it sound like it's just a slight fracture. And that even if he gets surgery, I can't imagine it would take more than 6 weeks to heal. So I hope that he will be back. And the good news is that since it is just a hand injury, he can keep his stamina up. He can keep running, and it's not his shooting hand. So he can keep shooting even though he has this injury. And I'm sure that he will do everything to stay as strong as he has been over the past eight games. So I'm not very concerned. I mean, it sounded like the caller was a little bit concerned, Bobby, but I don't know how you feel about the whole thing.
It's unfortunate that it's not Kemba in that regard, because they do have other wings on this team that can pick up the slack. Brown, Green looked great tonight, as we mentioned earlier. It seems like he's going to be the guy that they go to in rotation on most nights off the bench. Smart can always rotate into that group too. It's tough because he was on such a tear. We saw him against Charlotte. He was going out there and taking shot after shot. That's something we didn't see from him last year. He was finding his shot and drilling it again and again. Defenses were stepping back on him. He was putting it over them in the mid-range. So he was reaching a stride unlike anything that we've seen from him in his career. So in that regard, this really stinks. But, you know, we saw Aaron Baines get a hand injury last year when he got the ball off his hand against Phoenix. And he ended up missing, I'm counting right here, about 13 games. So he was out from December 19th until about January 14th. So I think we'll see Hayward miss a similar time frame here, especially if he gets the surgery. Yeah, so it's not going to be devastating to the team, but it does hurt in regard that they were on such a tear, such a streak here, that they are probably going to have a tougher time getting back into that swing of things once he does get out there. But you're right, Matt. He can still run. He can still get out there and shoot. He's been in the gym all summer. I'd imagine he'll continue to be in the gym there in Boston, grinding away as the team moves forward for this next month. It'll just test this team's offense because, like we've said, three guys have been doing all the scoring for this group. Now the ball's in Kemba's hands a lot more. You know, Tatum and Brown have been great secondary playmakers, but can they be on the ball as much as Kemba, like Hayward was? I'm not 100% sure yet. It's going to be tricky to see where they go from here. Enes Kanter's coming back, which is going to be an interesting thing because we've talked about how great the defense is. He's going to have to get into the fold now. He's a playmaker from that big man position, so they'll definitely want a little bit more of that with Hayward out. But does the defense lose that much more when he's out there?
Yeah.
It seems like they're not going to – we've seen them, what, win seven games in eight. I don't know if they'll be at that brutally dominant of a position going forward here now without him.
Yeah, it's interesting. You lose Gordon Hayward, who's a huge scorer, and then you gain Enes Kanter, who is a decent scorer for a big man and certainly known for his offensive rebounds. So you get rid of one of the guys that's been taking jump shots, and you plug a guy in that's probably going to make you plug a guy in that's going to probably make your defense a little bit worse with Kanter, and it's just you never know what's going to happen. But it seems to be something that the Celtics might want to focus on as far as maybe not taking as many jump shots, or actually I should say taking more jump shots. Because Kanter is a guy that is going to clean up the offensive boards, but he's not necessarily a great defender. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see, Bobby, because you saw in that first game they seemed a little disjointed. They weren't that great on defense. Kanter goes out. They tear off seven wins. And I just – that is something that concerns me a little bit, because who knows what their defense is going to look like when you plug a guy in that is not defensive-minded by any means. But – who knows if he can play similar to what Daniel Tice has given them on the defensive end, then that's going to be great. And that will be something that is not expected from Kanter, and it'll still allow the guards to get their pressure on the ball, which I think is a big reason that they've been so good defensively early on.
And I'm not complaining about the team that we have here. It's a great group. They've really made some nice changes. The draft picks look like they're going to be good down the line. Romeo Langford's actually playing up in Maine right now. So do we see Romeo Langford finally jump into the fold here? We've forgotten all about him. Yeah, we've forgotten all about him. He hasn't gotten a chance yet. He's looking good up there from the tweets I'm seeing. Could he be an option in that fold right there?
Yeah, I mean, we haven't seen anything from him, right? He didn't play summer league. He didn't play in the preseason. So we haven't seen what he can bring to the table. So I'm interested to see what happens in Maine tonight. Do you know is Taco playing, or is he still on concussion protocol? Any idea? I know that the Red Claws are up big, just like the Celtics were. They're up 25 against Delaware, down in Delaware. But let's see if actually tackle fall.
I think he is because he played at
playing.
The end of
yep,
that next
tackle
game,
fall in
yeah.
the game. Romeo Langford in the game as well. So for those of you that have access to watch some G League, go turn it on. Langford's got 23 points right now. And Taco Fall has 3 blocked shots with 11 points and 10 rebounds. And he has a plus 25 if you like the plus minus stat, which I don't, but I'll throw it out there for the people
yeah,
that do.
Yeah, and if you look at their schedule, they don't play again until next Friday. There's a pretty good chance that we'll see Langford playing Monday in Dallas. He'll probably hop on a plane after this one and head down to Dallas with the team.
Well, that's at home. That's in Boston. So
oh, it's
even
in Boston.
Better.
Sweet. All right. Even better. Yep.
Yep. And then Wednesday coming up, if we're going to sort of get into the Celtics schedule, Isaiah Thomas back in town. We touched on him a little bit earlier.
He's starting.
As I compared Kemba Walker to him, as I don't want to say the name of the former point guard here, I will say Isaiah's name, Bobby. So just a little projection looking ahead. I will be in attendance for both those games, and I'm really looking forward to this week because I think it's going to be a fun night, a fun week at the TD Garden with Doncic and Porzingis coming in on Monday, and then the return, the true return of IT, because he was here he was injured, or Denver did not play him that much when he came a year or two ago.
Yeah,
he
got
in the game.
Run.
I think he made a three. He got a nice standing ovation, but this will be the first time that he's actually in a starting lineup and gets significant minutes returning to Boston. So that will be a lot of fun. I want to see what he brings to the table because he was a guy that really led the way for one of the most exciting teams that Brad Stevens has had the pleasure of coaching, in my opinion. So I love Isaiah Thomas. I love the energy that he brings to the table. And I love that Kemba Walker is sort of recreating some of that magic early on so far this season.
Yeah, it's weird. We look across the league at where some of these old faces are. Al Horford in a Philly uniform, Isaiah in a Washington uniform. I mean, he had the 53-point game against Washington, and now he's starting for them. Just some weird looks across the league. Marcus Morris is killing in New York. You almost wish he could be back here playing because they had the four wings last year. If any one of them went down, they had another great one to fill in there. He's been killing it with the Knicks. I know he talked a lot about loving his time here, wishes he could have stayed, but the offer wasn't there. So, you know, one of the guys you got to miss most as we see Hayward go down is Morris, because, you know, if he was still here, he'd be stepping in, giving them 15, 20 points and killing it. He's one of the guys I miss most from that team. So I'm excited to see Isaiah. Luka Doncic is a prodigy. He just had a 38-point triple-double in a loss. And he's going to bring that kind of playmaking against the Celtics. They're going to have a tough time defending him. I wonder how Stevens is going to do it. He has an answer for everything, it feels like. I don't know how he's going to go after Doncic because that guy can do anything. Post up, spot up, dribble, pass, all those different things. He's like a new age. I don't want to say it, but he's got some Larry Bird to him.
Oh,
he's
boy.
Got a little bit of it.
That's all right. You can say it. I mean, it's nice to see a guy sort of resurrecting the Mavericks again because they were down for quite some time. And I always like to see that franchise succeed.
Yeah.
So I don't know why.
Porzingis is a load, too. I don't know what they're going to do about him out there.
Yep.
He's killing
Seeing
it, too.
Seeing the two of them, it's very interesting to see how they might be able to perform this year. So we'll check that out on Monday. And then, again, Isaiah Thomas on Wednesday. And, of course, CLNS Media will have you covered after each of those games and the rest of the games this season because that's what we do here on the Celtics post-game show. That is going to do it for us tonight, though. We've got just about 30 seconds left. Celtics win 135-115 down in San Antonio. It is their first win there in the last 8 years. Jaylen Brown leads the way with 30 points and 7 rebounds to go along with 9 for 10 from the free throw line. Kemba Walker, 26 points. Celtics win. They're 7-1. They're in first place in the Eastern Conference, and hopefully they keep that up. My name is Matt Rory, everybody, for Bobby Manning. Thanks for listening, and have a great night. Go Celtics.
This has been